learning the laws of Betzias Apas. The Machaber says that immediately after a person makes the bracha hamotzi yochel miyad, a person should immediately eat. V'yaseach bein bracha l'achil, and a person should not make any interruptions, talking, having a conversation between the time the bracha is said and the time that one eats. V'imsach sarach l'achsel avarech. If a person does so, then one needs to make the bracha again. Now the Mishnah Berurah defines exactly at what point are you allowed to eat. You made hamotzi, maybe you took a little piece of bread, you put it in your mouth. Are you allowed to talk at that point? And Mishnah Berurah tells us, not really. It's not just that a person takes a piece of bread and puts it in their mouth, all of a sudden you start seeing people talk. That's not the proper way. Rather, a person is supposed to actually swallow that first piece of bread. Kivan, the pasuk of Shulchan Aruch, because after all, it's pasuk later on, with regard to a person who only tastes something, and their intention is not to actually eat it, they just want to taste to see if the soup needs more salt, and that's their whole intention, that the halacha brought down over there, which we're not going to get into so much detail, but nonetheless it says, Ein sarach bracha, you do not need to make a bracha on that soup, because you're not eating it. So what do we see from that halacha over there? We see the ikar habracha al habliya. The whole real essence of the reason why you make the bracha is for you to eat it, to actually consume it, to swallow it. And therefore, because of this, it's necessary for a person to actually swallow the challah, or the bread, before they talk. And until that point, they're not allowed to do so, and therefore that would perhaps be some level of an interruption. The question is it such an interruption that it would actually warrant you to have to make another bracha? So in this, the Mishnah Berurah says like this, Mikol Makom, Im Avar Vasach Ba'odo Lois, let's say a person is involved in chewing their first slice of bread, and they didn't talk yet, but Kodim Shabol HaPrusa, they began to speak matters which do not pertain to the meal before they actually swallowed. So it's actually brought down a machlokas, and sarach iyun, says Mishnah Berurah, it's something which one needs to really investigate whether you need to make a bracha again. And he brings down, for example, the Eliyahu Rabbah is of the opinion that a person in such a situation who talked after they started chewing but before they swallowed their first piece of bread, that they would actually have to say another bracha. However, others do not feel that that is so clear, such as the Magen Avraham. And then, finally, the Bigdi Yeshan, as well as the Magen Giborim, say that B'di'eved Ein Sarach L'Achsel Avarech. We would not want you, maybe because of the idea of Safek Brachos L'Hakil, to say another Hamotzi. And he says the reason why chewing in this instance may be enough, that you do not it's not considered to be an interruption between the bracha and the achila of the actual completely eating. He says, since your intention of your chewing is l'shem achila, you're not just chewing, you intend to end up swallowing and eating, therefore, halisa aschalasa de achilahi. He feels that the chewing is already the first stage of the eating, and therefore, a person who begins talking at that point would not be required to say a second bracha. But he does conclude by saying, Yal kopanim, we should certainly be cautious not to talk until, not just when you put some food in your mouth, but after you've actually swallowed. Of course, it's not polite to speak while you have food in your mouth anyway, but that's another story. The Be'er Halacha then says, similar to this, he says, V'lo yisiach ad shiyivla al kol panim at. It doesn't say that you have to eat a lot, but at least the smallest amount would be enough for a person to then be able to talk. Now that all this is really even b'di'evit, because the Mishnah Berurah then says, "Amnam in sarach she'ochel davka shir kazayis kodim shi'adaber." You do not have to eat a specified amount, such as a kazayis, before you begin speaking. Diafil im ochel rak pachas mekazayis achar habracha chashiv achil inyan zedemutu ledaber achar kach. Even if you eat a little bit, as the Be'er Halacha stated, that would be enough for you to be able to talk. However, he says, "Ushalo b'makom hadchak," unless it's something which is really pressing, "tov shiochel metchila shir kazayas." There are those who will actually not talk until they actually eat a shear of a measurement of a kazayas, and then only after they would talk, as they would constitute, again, some level of a hefsek between the bracha and the achil. Now, again, all of this is referring to that you already said hamotzi, and you did not eat anything yet. So on this, the Mechaber says, im sach sarach lach slavarech. And again, this is, the Mechaber is talking about, not that you started chewing, in which one could maybe say that some people hold, as we mentioned, l'isas chalas de'achil, that's already the beginning of the eating. Let's say you did not put it in your mouth yet. You said hamotzi, and all of a sudden you start talking about something which has absolutely nothing to do with the meal. So the Mechaber says, sarach lachsar levarech. In that instance, you would be required to say another bracha, and that's something which is going to also require more discussion, which we may or may not get to today. This is El Imkein, Haisa Hasicham, Bidvarim, Me'in Dvarim, Shemavarchanala. It's possible that you could talk between the bracha and the eating, provided that it has something which has some value to the meal. And he says, for example, Kodim She'achal, before you eat, Amar, a person may say, Hiviu Melech, Oliftan, you pass the salt. So even though really you're talking, how could you be talking? It's not considered to be a hefsek, but since it's directly connected to the suda, to the meal, that's not considered to be that a person has diverted their attention from the bracha, and therefore a person does not have to say a second bracha. Similarly, if a person says, tenu leploni leechol, you see a poor person that is in the need of something to eat, so even though you made hamotzi, you did not yet eat anything, person says this, that's also connected to the seudah, and that's permissible. Similarly, which is also brought down in the Gemara, if a person says, tenu machal behema, a person says, give to my animal, the kiyutz be'elu enu sarach levarach. So why feeding your animal? So the Mishnah Brura, which I'm not going to read now, but he discusses, we'll talk about more a couple days from now, is that a person is not allowed to eat unless their animals have eaten first, and it's derived from the second paragraph of the Shema, "V'nosati esav esatach levemtecha." First, it talks about feeding levemtecha, your animals. Then, only afterwards, the pasuk concludes the akalt of the savata that you should be satiated. So, therefore, the Mechaber says that if it is something which is directly connected to the seuda, then it's not necessary for a person to make another bracha. That's not considered to be a hefsek. Now, the Piskei Tshuvos continues and says some other ideas which we may or may not be familiar with. He says, with regard to this idea, the lechatchila, that preferably aser lafsik b'shtik yoser b'chdei dibor, he says that a person really should try their best not to be engaged in any type of conversation. Rather, a person should immediately after making hamotzi immediately eat. He says, a kol shkein shul yasa shum masa. Certainly, between the bracha and the eating, you should not be engaged in any other activities which have no connection to the eating of bread. And he says also, if let's say you're the one that's making hamotzi, and let's say you have numerous people, and you have a large challah, and you're cutting the challah, not everyone's familiar with this halacha, but nonetheless, Taz brings down, lo yachtoch es prusos halechem lemusabim hayotzim birechaso el achar shitum hu ma'at mehapas. That if you're the one that made a hamotzi, and let's say, for example, it's Shabbos, and you have a few guests, so here you are, you feel a little bit uncomfortable eating, and they're sitting there, so you want to cut the challah, and then distribute it, and once everyone has a piece of bread in front of them, then we all eat together. So that's not correct, because that's considered to be a hesek. The person who makes hamotzi should immediately cut one piece for themselves, eat it, and then only afterwards distribute it to the other people that are there. The exception, the Arizal says, he doesn't bring down here the reason for this, Amnam l'ishto yochel achtoch aprusa l'oseis l'olifnei t'imaso. That you're allowed to at least cut the challah, not only for yourself, but also for your wife, before you give it out to others. And you're allowed to give it to your wife even before you ate. And you can maybe understand some logical shalom bias reasons for that. In conclusion, to share with you one other halacha, with regard to making different signs, making different noises. And I'm not talking. All right, a person made hamotzi, and here I am, I'm snapping, I'm waving, maybe a little sign language. Are all these things considered to be an issue halachically as far as an interruption between the bracha and the eating? So the Piskei Tshuva says as follows. He says, v'chlal zeh, within this category of not talking between the two, also, she is zahar l'chatchila, a person should be cautious, kol she'en l'tzara chavetzia, anything which has no connection to the bread, shelo lirmoz be'ena, that a person should not even make any hints, gestures, blinking with their eyes, u'be'etzva osav, or pointing, or making gestures with their hands and fingers. V'kol she'ken, shelo hotzi me'piv, kol mini habaros she'esh v'hem mashma'os, Shelgara o Zirus. Now he says that certainly we're talking about, as we just mentioned, that you're not even supposed to move your eyes and move your hands, which is some type of an interruption, but certainly to make noises from one's mouth, which perhaps would want them to be Zirus, like you say, new, and you make different noises, which are not really part of the English language, you look it up in a dictionary, but nonetheless, those are things which a person should not do. She'efshir shehu b'chlal dibor. It's possible that since obviously, you're trying to communicate something. That's a form of communication. And therefore, a person should be careful not to do these things. So similarly, he brings down, a person should not hum or sing nigunim between the bracha and the te'ima and the actual eating. El miyad achar bracha yitom. Immediately after the bracha, if one can, we taste. L'chein gam yachbit shul yehei hamachol cham biyoser shi'etzdarach lahamtin. He says also, if you have very hot bread, for the same reason, if a person has to wait for it to cool down, that's also an issue between the bracha and the eating. However, in conclusion, he says, v'chol elu, in regard to all these things, if we're accustomed, unfortunately, to make these different noises, which clearly is not something which you should do, if a person has done these things, we will not have to say a second hamotzi. The only times one would need to make a second bracha of hamotzi is if there is a tremendous break, as he says, a masik gamor, some type of a major action in which that will cause a hefsik, and therefore only then would a person actually be required to say a second hamotzi.